In the Lotus Sutra, a text that I talked a little bit about last time, Avalokiteshvara is described as being a protean deity, a deity who takes on all sorts of different forms in order to manifest compassion to people in this world, especially to people who call on his name. So this idea of invoking the compassion of Avalokiteshvara often is involved in the simple practice of calling on the name of the deity himself. Again, this is one of these features in religion that's really easy to take for granted. You know, I say to you in the flow of a lecture, oh, ho-hum, you know, Mahayana practitioners call on the name of Avalokiteshvara and he responds by receiving them with his compassion. But this simple practice leads us in an interesting way, I think, into the heart of the Mahayana. I sometimes think that the most basic form of religious practice, especially in a theistic religious tradition, although it also applies here in the Mahayana, is simply to call on the name of the deity and expect the deity in some way to respond, or at least to meditate in some way on the presence of the deity and the deity's concern for you. I felt this really strongly once when I was sitting with my daughter. I guess these experiences come often when you're with people you care about in places that are a little bit different from where you normally live. This was in a hotel in India called the Lake Palace Hotel in Udaipur. It's a very beautiful white hotel that sits in the middle of a lake. And we were on the terrace of that hotel in the evening. There were green parrots flying around. The sky was blue. It was an exquisitely beautiful scene. And from a temple across the lake, we could hear a chant, a simple chant. A man was saying, "Hey Ram, Hey Ram, Hey Ram, Hey Ram." In another language, it sounds like a complicated, almost secret chant, but it actually is really simple. It just means, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God." It's that basic expression of human piety in the face of the divine. And that makes its appearance here in the Mahayana tradition, here, really for the first time in our lectures on Buddhism. The tradition tells us in the Lotus Sutra that if we call on the name of Avalokiteshvara, if we say, it's harder than saying, "Hey Ram," if we say, "Hey Avalokiteshvara, Hey Avalokiteshvara," that we will achieve some kind of connection to the compassion of that great deity. Now, it's also possible to invoke the compassion of Avalokiteshvara by chanting a mantra, a technical phrase that invokes the power of that and embodies the power of that great celestial figure. The mantra is Om Mani Padme Hum. Some of you may have heard it. It's conceivable that it has floated like some cosmic influence through your world. When I speak about this with students in my own classroom, we talk about Buddhism at 9 in the morning, and you have to have just about any device available to you to try to wake people up. We spend a lot of time chanting this from deep in the gut where Buddhist chant is supposed to come from. So we could try this, I guess, although I won't be able to hear you chanting back at me. Just say, "Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum," and imagine that you're like some Tibetan monk in a monastery in the mountains invoking the power of Avalokiteshvara. It's an important phrase throughout the Mahayana world, and particularly in the world of Tibet, where it is not just chanted, but inscribed on the surface of prayer wheels that you often see Tibetan devotees or Tibetan practitioners spinning, inscribed on flags that are flown from temples and flown from mountain passes, and carved on rocks, on mani stones, as they're called, to invoke the power of Avalokiteshvara's compassion. Avalokiteshvara is important in Tibet, and you could almost imagine that for Tibetans, they're trying to somehow fill the fabric of Tibet as a physical space with the energy of Avalokiteshvara's compassion embodied in this mantra.